Hi, I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the political center and have on the political left Shireen Gourbani. Hi, Shireen.
Hi there, and hey, listeners. So glad you're tuning in.
Yeah, great to be with my friends in the studio today and John Dougal on the right.
Hey, great to be with you again.
Well, I don't know where to start, but boy, has there been a boatload of news.
It's been kind of a quiet week, hasn't it? Holiday.
The debt limit we've talked about and talked about, but I give Speaker McCarthy credit for coming to the table. I give Biden credit for coming to the table. I give Mitt Romney credit for supporting it, and Blake Moore, Senator Lee's not there. I don't know sort of with the other ones, but Shireen, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? Let's go quick on this one.
So first of all, I'll just say this agreement means that we will not default on our debt. That is great news, okay? So compromise is excellent in this situation. I do think that there are many things I would take issue with. I think the biggest one is that this plan, numerous agencies are reporting that it would actually do very little to balance the budget. So that, I think, is a loss for McCarthy in the grand scheme of things. But what I'm grateful for is that we are not going to be plunged into a recession that would have ripple effects that I think are hard for people to really wrap their minds around. This is good news.
It's a message, that we can still solve something.
Yeah,
and
this is one of those things. I mean, it doesn't do as much as parties say. I mean, Biden's going to say, while he didn't want any kind of conditions, hey, the conditions he got were largely what was going to happen anyway with reality, with Republicans controlling the House.
Mm-hmm.
And McCarthy's going to say, we got spending cuts, but, this is kind of what was going to happen anyway. And the spending cuts are really Washington, D.C. spending cuts. They're not what real people think. I'll give you the scenario. If you think you're going to gain 5 pounds, but you only gain 4, in D.C., you call that 1 pound weight loss. Yeah. Versus 4 pounds of increase.
Fair enough.
But you notice Biden's not saying this is a great deal. He's humming and hawing about kind of what a lousy deal is, because he knows if he says it's a great deal, they're going to lose more votes on the Republican side.
For sure. John, what did you think about Ron DeSantis making his announcement and having Twitter go crazy and not really project very well?
Yeah, well, it kind of looks even worse than Elon Musk.
When
you launch your bid for presidency, you want people talking, I think, about your policies and issues. But, I mean, DeSantis was getting attention because of all the technical problems Twitter had.
Yeah. I guess you were surprised, Shireen, were you, that Twitter didn't deliver?
Did you know Ron was going to announce?
Yeah, no. So not surprised that DeSantis is in the race. I am surprised that the platform by which he chose to do it on is one that I think a lot of people perceive to be unhealthy and dying, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then the technical glitches that came with that suggest that was
supported
correct.
Supported that, yeah.
And you want to spend your time with billionaires, like some of the richest people on earth, or do you want to tell the working class person who, maybe was a Trump voter that you're his guy? I think this is a mess, and I don't think it bodes well for the campaign.
I have to laugh. I saw a little meme, and it was Jeb Bush, and it was joking that he announced via Microsoft Teams.
Right. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Shireen, queen of rock and roll, Tina Turner, passed away in the past week at 83.
What's love got to do with it?
Yeah, Proud Mary, 8 Grammys, electrifying stage performances. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, this is a huge loss for rock and roll. I think for icons, she is an incredible human that had been through so much. And there's a lot of really good content out there that I would encourage people to consume. But they can also come and celebrate her life and work in Salt Lake City this week. There's a review of Tina show is playing at the Eccles Theater. And I would encourage people to get down there if you're jonesing for some. But tell me about your experience.
She won't be
with
there,
Tina
though,
Turner.
Right?
What I would say is, I learned something from Shireen on this program, and it was, as COVID was winding down and live performances were coming back, and Shireen looked at me and she said, I love live performances. Yeah, and I'd forgotten that was a thing. Not because of COVID, but just, I just took it for granted, I guess. And I have since, every time I'm in a live performance, I'm just smiling ear to ear at human creativity and, just what it shows. So I was just in New York and I went to a play called A Beautiful Noise.
Yeah.
It documents Neil Diamond's life. And it's biographical and, starts beginning to end. But wow, the music and the people. And you're just like, thank goodness people have those skills and talents.
It makes life so much better. I love that it has you smiling ear to ear. It still has me weeping openly. So I love live music. And I do feel some sadness that I never got to see Tina Turner live.
Yeah. Well, let's there's other national news. Maybe I'll come back to it. But let's turn to some local news. Chris Stewart, John.
Who's that?
Congressman
Word leaks
Stewart
out this
just,
week.
Just announced that he is going to be stepping down early. He wants to make sure there's a smooth transition for that to take place. But due to his wife's health issues, he needs to resign from Congress.
Big, big political news.
Oh, yeah.
As big as it gets almost.
Oh, yeah.
And right? I have to say, big personal news probably as well. So really wishing his family the best. I mean, that's a big decision. It seems like he was a person to me who really loved being in Congress and the power that that brought with it. So I'm just wishing his family the best.
Yeah. Amen. I'm with you there.
And this shows the priority. You know, family should be more important than, you know, being in office and stuff like that. And he's shown the right priorities there.
Yeah. So thank you for your service, Chris Stewart. And we'll learn more about the date of your resignation and how this plays out. But let's unwrap it a little bit for our listeners. And as I do that, I just got to say that when news like that hits, in my experience, politicos immediately start thinking about what are the possibilities? And a lot of people
might run.
Yeah, well, a lot of people put themselves into that picture. I'm thinking of a lot of.
Are you running, Natalie?
I'm not, but I'm thinking
of a
lot.
Is this your announcement?
Well, I'm ready to get on the team.
Well, I'm thinking of a lot of legislators that are like, well, here's my opening.
Yeah.
Well, as a legislator, you kind of get a pass because if you lose, you still have your current seat.
Okay.
This isn't like a normal election cycle where you got to decide.
I'm going to ask both of you to kind of spell out how this works, but immediately I turn to names like Candace Perucci, who's a rising star in the Republican Party, would be a terrific congresswoman. Amy Winder Newton. Someone who's run for governor and you know well. And
I know.
I do too.
I'm going to these women. But even a Derek Miller is someone who I think is, really good at leadership and public service. And so, but we'll go some other potential candidates. John and Shereen, how does it work? You guys divide this up.
I'm going to just lay a little bit of basic groundwork. Okay. So first of all, this is the district. I did run in CD too, so I know this district pretty well. Mm-hmm. It has been re-gerrymandered to be a little bit different. And some of the, it's more conservative than it was when I ran. Just 61% rural and southern Utah, 18% of Salt Lake City, and then 21% of Davis County. So it's really kind of carved out in that way. It is also important to understand that you don't have to live in, unlike state house, seats, you don't have to live in Congressional District 2 to run. So we could be talking about anyone in the state who's interested in this and has the profile to do it. So those are a couple things. Do you want to talk about the process, John?
Sure. One of the other dynamics that's a little bit different here is for a lot of things like state house, state senate, the local delegates from the party of the person leaving office will nominate a candidate that the governor will appoint. And the governor's hands are tied. He can only appoint that person. Now, when it comes to statewide offices, typically the delegates per rules and statute send three names to the governor. He picks one. In this case, the U.S. Constitution requires the governor to put out notice of an election.
Mm-hmm. And so you can't appoint someone.
You cannot
to Congress,
appoint somebody, not even temporarily. Uh-huh. So this is an election process. So it'll go through kind of your standard convention, signature process,
primary
election kind of dynamic and that type of thing where all the voters in that district will have a say in this process.
And Democrats will be able to put someone on the ballot.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So this is a full up election process.
If I had a calendar in front of me, how does that play out? I mean, the governor has to issue a proclamation, and then what happens?
My understanding is within 7 days of Chris Stewart or whoever, we saw this when Jason Chaffetz stepped down early, there was like 7-day period when he had to announce when the election was. I think there has to be at least 90 days in between there
right.
and when the election, the general election takes place. But with all the requirements of Military Voter Act and other things like that to make sure you can mail ballots overseas and stuff like that, you have to build in a significant timeline. But one of the other dynamics that plays into this is when you think back to Congress, we talked about the debt limit vote and other things like that, the Republicans have a 4-seat majority.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose somebody and you have to wait for that seat to get filled, that narrows that.
Became a 3-seat majority for a period of months.
Exactly.
The intrigue. What are you hearing, Shereen? Are you thinking about putting your name out there?
I'm definitely not, because a more gerrymandered district does not sound like fun to me, though I will say this is a district I love a lot, with a lot of spaces and people who are phenomenal, who could use somebody who's a champion for access to health care, lowering costs for everyday Americans, things like that. That would be great to see. But, there are – so what I think would be interesting is to see somebody come out of southern Utah. There are a big chunk of this district is in southern Utah. St. George is exploding. Iron County is growing really fast. So I would love to see, and there are some legislators from that, end of the state that I've had deep respect for. I think they're kind of out of the game at this point. But I, like you, would love to see a woman in the seat. We don't have a single woman in our in the Senate or in Congress. So it would be great to see.
When I hear her say Southern Utah, John, I think of Brad Last, Lowry Snow, two former legislators
Lowry
that aren't
Snow,
there
that's
anymore.
Mine, yeah.
Yeah, great. But John, give us some names or people that you think might be give this a look.
Well, I mean, I think you know, you've mentioned Candace Swan, Candace Perucci, amazing representative in the House. You know, names I'm hearing is Senator Todd Weiler, who lives up in Davis County.
Who's someone who's been a guest on this program.
You hear names floated up there like Jordan Hess, who's vice chair of the Republican Party, who lives down in Washington County and stuff. And so I think
Becky Edwards.
Becky Edwards is another one that's in Davis County. She ran against Mike Lee for U.S. Senate last election
I like
and stuff
that
like
one.
That. So there's going to be several names that are out there. And it, like Shireen said, you do not have to live in the district.
Uh-huh.
And so that will be the interesting thing. And it's always the debate whether or not you voters want you to live in the district or not. One of the other dynamics that's changed over time is there's a lot more votes down in southern Utah. So it's about a 50-50 split in terms of voters. And so southern Utah could actually control this seat.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're already, when you're in the House, 2-year terms on a constant election cycle. But in this case, you would go in probably in November and you'd be up for re-election the following November.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. So I think something.
It's a 1-year. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you'd immediately. Basically, January 2 is when you start
so
signature
do
process.
Do know if you put your name in the hat here that you're going to be in fundraising mode constantly.
This is why I think, you know, initially I was wondering if Brad Wilson, who's talking about the Senate, or Trent Staggs, Mayor Staggs, who was talking about as well, if they would jump to this. But I do think, particularly in the case of Brad Wilson, he seems to me like the kind of person who's looking for a 6-year situation and not an every 2-year situation.
Yeah.
So we'll see, though. If you've already got some infrastructure built, it would be easier to jump into this race.
Great commentary. In our next segment, we'll talk about some more local news. Thanks, everyone. Keep listening.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on KCPW. To hear all our in-house programs, you can go to the Local Programs tab at kcpw.org. And while you're there, please consider donating to keep public radio alive on KCPW.
Shireen Gorbani on the left.
John Dougal on the right.
Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. We were just talking about Chris Stewart's big news. It makes it John and Shireen. So we have both the Senator Romney, you know, news, which I would expect in the next 4 to 6 weeks that he'll make known what he's doing.
What his future plans
That's
are.
That's just my guess. And then, you know, we'll have this this special election for Chris Stewart. But we had Riverton Mayor Trent Staggs, announce a run for Mitt Romney's Senate seat. What do you know about him, John?
Trent is the mayor of Riverton. He's a great guy. I like him a lot. He's, I would call him a fiscal conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. He ran for Salt Lake County mayor.
What's his background professionally?
A business guy.
Uh-huh. Okay. Shireen?
Interacted with him a little bit when I was on the county council. I would just say, like, personally, a pleasant person. His politics certainly do align with mine.
but they do align closely with mine.
A lovely person. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and ambitious to do this. And I say to myself, I love ambition if it's righteous ambition. Like, you want to do things for the right reasons. I'm not being moral, you know, putting some sort of moral compass on it. But just, are you interested in the best for the state? And if he's one of those guys, let's give him a good look. Who else are we going to see there in the Senate?
In the U.S. Senate race?
Yeah. You might see Romney, but you might not.
Right.
Right.
We know we have Brad Wilson.
Yep.
Now we have Trent Staggs. Anyone else you're hearing, John?
Not right now. I mean, okay. I'm sure you're going to hear more folks jump in as it gets more certain.
I'm thinking
what
of the people that ran for governor last time that might see this as another thing to do.
Mm. Yeah. We'll have to see. I mean, going through an election is a difficult process.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how simple you think it is a very difficult process.
Yeah.
Everybody should try it once in a while and see how difficult it is.
Do you know the last time I ran for office? So crazy.
I think you mentioned it before.
It was vice president of my elementary school.
Yes, that's right.
And I won.
How'd that turn out?
Okay, so Natalie, this is your time. I think you should get into this
Stepping
race.
Stone.
I don't know that it's in my DNA. I was actually happy to hear that former Utah State Senator Derek Kitchen was picked for a job in the Biden administration. Derek, you know, he's one of these people that became quite a public figure in our state. I love it, love it, love it when Utahns are appointed to national positions. Shireen?
Yeah, this is really exciting. And I also think that it's such a good opportunity for him to bring both his municipal experience. Mm-hmm. So coming from the Salt Lake City council and then also state experience really to be a potential power player for attention, resources, access.
For the Export-Import Bank.
Yeah.
And he brings his business savvy to that
and
as well.
A business owner. Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is great. I'm really excited for him.
Yeah. Did you know Derek worked
with him? I didn't really know Derek and didn't really work with him on any issues. Okay. I always love when I see Utah step up into a larger stage and what role they'll play. And I'm kind of interested and curious and hopeful of what that means.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for Derek. Amy Fowler. So this is the Salt Lake City Council member that had the DUI arrest, now has resigned from the Salt Lake City Council.
Well, she will resign.
Will resign. Okay. Yes. We'll tell our listeners how that works.
So she has said that she's going to stick through the budget process and is planning to resign on July 3rd. And then what happens is when Salt Lake City appoints for a vacancy, there's basically a call and people put in resumes. They put in a packet to put in their application, their candidacy to the city council. And then the city council reviews those. And then they choose who will be the person. And then it goes back into the election cycle. So,
and they have to do that in a public meeting.
In a public meeting.
Because that's a bill I ran when I was in the House to require that rather than going behind closed doors to pick your buddy.
Yeah. So it's
good for you, John.
It's a wild process. But if you live in basically Sugar House, that kind of portion of Salt Lake that abuts Mill Creek, and you've thought about, public service, this would be an opportunity, kind of a lower stakes opportunity to put your name in that. Mm-hmm. So that's what will happen. And honestly, really wishing the best for, Councilmember Fowler and hoping that this is, the right decision and a good decision for her.
Yeah. John, this saddened.
Well, it's one of those things. You need to focus on yourself. And
yeah,
your
that makes sense.
And your person.
Yeah. The whole episode saddened me. I always found Amy to be someone who was in public service for the right reasons. She was always very kind to me. She's very smart. I believe in redemption. I believe in being able to pick up the pieces and get into a brighter situation. And I hope that happens for her. But
I hope that happens too.
Yeah.
For all people.
Yeah, sure.
We need to show grace to folks and can't understand some of the challenges each individual goes through.
And I'll make a prediction that we haven't seen the last of Amy. So we'll see. Shireen, who do you think might be considered for this spot?
Oh, wow. Good question.
And who's putting their resumes in?
So it's early. But what I would say is there are a lot of really engaged community members and
in
leaders
Salt Lake City,
in
right?
Salt Lake City,
yeah.
But specifically coming out of the Sugar House area. That Sugar House Community Council is very active, very engaged. So I would be looking
at
some of the recent leadership of that as a place where, people may be interested in getting in the mix.
Yeah. All right. So Senator Todd Weiler, he's been the guy that has really pushed the anti-porn agenda up on Capitol Hill. Hearing now that Utah may hire a company to provide age verification for online pornography site users. Do you know much about this one, John?
I know the concept's been floated out there. I don't know the technical details of what they're looking to do. I know that in some other aspects of state activities, for example, road user charge, they have a private company manage that because they don't want government having those records to try and protect people's privacy. So
you have to give the private company, though, access to Utah driver's license database. These are hard things to figure out.
Yeah. It's very hard. And people get concerned because it's like, okay, my driver's license for driving not to be shared with lots of other folks for other purposes.
Right. So this is, I think, an unfortunate step that we're seeing towards increasingly complex and invasive policies that are passed by Republicans in the state.
Yeah. Shireen, let's go to you and go down south. Drag performers are suing St. George after city leaders denied the permit for the drag show. A spokesperson for St. George said the city could not comment on active litigation. Shireen just rolled her
deep
eyes.
Deep eye roll. Okay. So
our listeners might have even heard that.
They could have. It was that intense. Let me start with this. So drag is art, and there are lots of different kinds of drag performances. There are many wonderful and creative, talented people across this entire state who I've come to know and love. I'm headed to a drag show tonight. I go to drag shows regularly. I just have to say that this is a place where with the kind of outrage that we're seeing, the kind of truly, I think, fabricated crisis that people are having with drag performance is really a distraction from some of the much deeper and broader problems that we have as a society, like the fact that so many fewer Utahns are able to buy a home here, that people are, you know, set to lose, millions of people are set to lose health care because we have Medicaid unwinding underway. We have all of these very real problems. Drag is not one of them. I can absolutely be convinced that there are certain shows that kids should not go to. I think many drag performers would say the exact same thing. They don't want your children at some of their shows. But we need to understand that this is a vibrant, creative, and really wonderful part of our community. And I would encourage people to find the right drag show for them.
John, do you buy that drag is art?
To each their own. To each their own.
Are you? Did I you am, like the movie Tootsie?
I'm not a very artistic.
Mrs. Doubtfire?
I'm not a very artistic. I'm not a very artistic kind of guy. So I'm really the wrong person to ask. But I know different people see art in different places.
I learn from you every day, Shireen. And so I'll keep an open mind.
I'm
going to
find
that.
A show for us.
Okay, so okay. Tootsie and Mrs. Doubtfire, I got to put that on my watching list.
Well, or don't, I guess, depending on how far down this rabbit hole you want to go.
Well, then there's the debate about what happens in the public square. But this is one of the things that we sometimes forget as society, that the public square is a certain purpose that whether or not you want it to be used that way, that's what the Constitution says.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to transportation in the gondola. Wasatch Front Regional Council. This is the metropolitan planning organization for this area. So they help with a lot of the planning. You think of UDOT as your transportation planners, but in metro areas, there's MPOs.
The federal government requires these planning organizations to give their input to UDOT.
Yeah. So WFRC, as it's known, voted last week to approve regional in their transportation plan, the gondola up Little Cottonwood Canyon. Well, you know, I'm a transportation commissioner, and this is the area I represent, Region 2. And so, you know, I mean, I have some background here.
But tell us what to make of it.
Well, I would just, the word I would use is patience. Okay, you've got, when I say patience, what I mean is let the process play out. So UDOT has a plan. They're all over it. They're thinking through it. It's a phased plan, which means that you're going to first, you know, maximize the bus service, put in the avalanche sheds, keep the gondola developing and perfecting it and thinking through how it works. So that's what I would say, mm-hmm. Shireen, is I understand activists and how they have their points of views, but we got a problem. Somebody's got to solve this. Our quality of life is being seriously diminished in that canyon. And it's not a place for automobiles. It just isn't.
Yeah.
So what are your choices?
Bus transit. Options, right? Things that are on the ground.
But you'd be putting an avalanche shed, you know, up a big share of the canyon.
Yep.
That's, you know, that's a big decision.
Yeah.
John?
And what you're saying right now is, while these are quote-unquote plans, this is really feeding input to the plan. It's not a plan has been decided and we're now building it. This is a process.
They're long-range plans, right? And so you build towards something and you still have a lot of flexibility in how it works.
This is not pulling the plug and they're building it tomorrow and breaking ground.
You know, UDOT has not officially given this a green light in any kind of specifics. They've just pointed towards a direction that includes the gondola in the planning horizon.
Right. And this is Wasatch Front Regional Council
saying, we're
sharing
gonna be with
their
you,
perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
this is formed of local government officials, county council members, county commissioners, mayors, and so forth.
So on a slightly different note, but also transit related, one of the things that I've been following closely is this conversation about the expansion of I-15, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that has been interesting to me, too, because while these are really different issues, they're kind of tied up in the same problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Though different, right? So I want to transition to that briefly. I think that is one that feels also to me like we have these growing pains. We have these deep growing pains of how quickly we're growing, the way that people want to access resources, work, life, all those kinds of things. And to see, I wish that we had a clear guiding ideology around how these kinds of decisions were being made. And I really encourage people to understand, I think with the gondola process and then also with I-15, getting involved and organized early is so critically important.
Yeah. I'm a planner at heart, and I think of the widening of I-15 in Davis County. And, you know, my perspective is you have to do it. And people get really concerned about eminent domain and things like that. But I'm telling you, our state's really good at managing those property relationships. And, you know, I can talk more about that if people want to. But here's the question I would ask. What next? Like, go out 20 years. What do they do next? You know, are they going to double? I mean, what are they going to do
right.
to get people around this region when we have steep slopes, water bodies, public lands? What are we going to do? But John, your comment on what Shireen brings up.
Well, one thing I was going to mention is there's various folks that say, oh, we need to drive less and other things like that. And the reality is mobility is a sign of our economic strength. Mm-hmm. The stronger we are economically, the more we're going to want to drive. And so you're going to see different things. Folks are going to talk about double-decker freeways and other things like that. But the other dynamic is when you have self-driving cars and they can place themselves much closer together and you can pack three or four times as many vehicles on the same roadway.
And working from home is becoming more and more prevalent.
What's the future going to hold?
Or real investment in mass transit. So that's another option, I guess.
And, you know, I come from the perspective you're going to need all of it.
I think the next hotspot, though, that's already happening related to these large-scale transit issues is southern Utah.
Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for flying cars.
Hey, we only have 20 seconds on the program, but Flood Watch next week. Let's hope for the best.
We're
in early June.
Weather's looking good so far. It's been an amazing spring.
Keep your storm drains clean.
I saw that Sandy's mayor issued an emergency declaration. So, you know, that big Cottonwood and little Cottonwood is coming to its peak. So buckle up. Well, great program. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Natalie Gochner with Shireen Gorbani and John Dougal. Program's produced by Anthony Scoma. Thanks, everybody, for listening.